Are you a hero leader? Do you even know what it means to be a hero leader? And if you are, that's the topic that we're going to talk about here today. And the reason this topic's on here is because I read a book that really inspired me. It made me think differently about my own leadership, and it's called The Hero Factor. And the author Jeffrey Hazlett, is been gracious enough to join us today in his busy, busy schedule. It's an understatement. To talk about this concept, because I know it's something that a lot of us deal with, a lot of us struggle with, on how to be a better leader, because we're never done, right? We've constantly got to be working on it. And I know the leaders that are listening, that this is a topic that's going to resonate with you. And I think in the workforce and where we're at today, it's something that we all need to be thinking about, is how we engage our workforce better. And I think that's by being better leaders. And so Jeffrey is an author, speaker, and TV host. Again, the book is A Hero Factor. We'll talk about it throughout the podcast today, but you can find it online. You can find it on Audible. But Jeffrey, thank you for being here today. Again, I so appreciate it. I'm grateful for you for taking the time. And I'd love you to just start with a little bit about who you are and your experience.
Absolutely. Well, I've bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, over 25 billion in transactions. I've been a CMO of a Fortune 100 company, been a television host, an author of four books now. This is my fourth book, The Hero Factor, which I thank you very much for your comments about the book. And, you know, and then I host my own podcast television or podcast radio show on C-Suite Radio. So I get around.
That's awesome. So we always have to start, because this is the Superpower Success Podcast. So as I told you, it's really about, like, what are those things that are innately us that make us more successful? So we always want to ask the people that are on here, what do you believe one of your superpowers is, and how do you use it? How's it helped you in your career?
Well, I'm very smart to surround myself with really good people, which I think a lot of hero leaders do. So I try never to do the work of my very talented and very good looking team. It's the way I always describe them. But you know, the other thing is I'm just, probably not, I won't say uniquely, but I'm very transparent, and you don't have to second guess me. I'm not leading you somewhere. I'm going to tell you. And I might teach you in a different way. I might kind of teach you along the way. But by and large, if I'm talking to somebody or dealing with somebody, I'm very straightforward about my promises, about my request, about my offers, because it's just a lot easier to cut through the bull and really get to it. So I'm very transparent, and I get a lot of accolades for being authentic. You know, but I don't know what that always means, because I just try to be myself. And I don't want to be anybody else, you know?
I love that. And that's what authenticity is. And I'll tell you, throughout the entire book, that word authentic is the word that kept coming into my head. Is that's what you're really teaching through this, is how to just be you, be really good at being you and get better, but not try to be someone else. So I want to talk about this concept of being a hero leader, because I think it's new to people, right? They maybe not have thought about it that way. What does that mean to you? You know, why is this concept so important?
Well, you know, the New York Times described it as the book is really where good to great left off. And I really appreciated that kind of as a description of the book, because it's not profit over people that make your business successful, but it's when you combine people and profit that you become a real hero leader. So, you know, there's good co's in this, in the world. If you look at, you know, businesses across the spectrum, there's good companies. Then there's wannabes. Then there's do-gooders. They're high on the hero spectrum, you know, in terms of doing really good stuff, but they don't make any money. And then there's those what I would call asshat companies, you know, and I had to choose that word so I could get past all the censors, you know, but those are real losers, real zeros. And then there's bottom liners, you know, good companies that do a good job. They make good money on the bottom line, but not high hero factor. And then there's those companies that have the hero factor, those companies that put values above everything. And when we see that, and that's why I was getting back to this point of combining people and profit. Because when we see a company that operates with great values, they typically make more money than anyone else in the industry. They gross more in revenue than anyone else in the industry. They have happier customers, happier employees, and really pleased vendors. And that makes for a great company. And so that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about hero leaders. Hero leaders lead hero companies, companies with great cultures. And that's what, you know, I wrote about in the book, and that's what I'm teaching and then, you know, evangelizing, because we have this whole group called the Hero Club. which is for CEOs and founders that we're leading as well. So this is all about how great leaders transform organizations and create winning cultures. And because no one stands up and says, hey, I can't wait to be a hero. No one says that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially CEOs and leaders of companies. But what they do want to do is they want to run great companies. Most people do. And so what this is a kind of a way in which we outlined it in the book, and we do some assessments and we do some training in the book. We do take people through some exercises, you know, on how to really lead like a hero.
And I think that's so important because, as you said, you know, we don't call ourselves heroes, you know, even if we are good leaders and we're leading organizations. But what we do realize is we have an impact, a huge impact on people, and it's how we make decisions and what we do. And so how do you recommend, I know there's some pieces in the book, but how do we test our own hero factor? Like, well, how do we even know that I need this book?
Well, the first thing is I'd ask you is what, you know, 28% of the people that work for a company don't even know what the company stands for. That's a problem. So even when I was reading my own book, you know, I was reading the book, meaning doing the audio version of the book for Audible. And as I was doing it, I was going, oh, I'm not worthy. Because I was reading all these great stories and everything that I write about. But, you know, you don't ever feel like you live up to your own potential, right? We all think about it. We look in the mirror and go, oh, geez, I'm kind of a little chubby. I don't look too good. Oh, my gosh, where did that come from? You know, and I think the same thing holds true for our business. So, I think it's always a good thing for us to always be pushing for something different. But what are your values? What are the values that you and your company live and operate? And can everyone speak to those values or not? That's a measure of a great leader. And then I think the other thing is what are your non-negotiables? What are those things that are just non-negotiable for you as a business? And really think through those so that everyone understands that. That's a little different than your values. It plays into, without question, plays into your values, but what are your non-negotiables? I'm actually bringing a group of about 150 CEOs together in March, and in doing so, that's one of the exercises I'm going to lead them is, I want to know what your non-negotiables are, because if you really think through that really sets you up for how you're going to operate.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about values on this podcast. We did a whole podcast on it because the test I always give to the clients that we work with is tell me your values, right? Or they're on the wall, poster on the wall, which is the worst. If they aren't really, if they're nothing more than words on a sheet of paper in the break room. But I want an example of where each one of those values has been lived in the last week. And then they look at you and say, they're like, well, it should be showing up every day if they're your values. A week should be easy. And that's where it's more living it than it is just, I think these words would really resonate with people.
You just gave me a great idea and I'm going to steal it right now. Cause here's change in the making. Cause I'm thinking about a hero journal, a journal in which leaders can have, but what a great thing to put down in your journal every day is examples of where we lived our values.
Yep. And it makes it real. And I think it makes it, you know, deeper for you when you connect it, because what we talk about too is as leaders that these living our values doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing. Like we just did this huge project or it's the little stuff that actually is what really says what your culture is. It's not the big stuff and with the fanfare and the, you know, the big wins that you get. It's the little things that you do day to day that really show to me what your values are. What advice do you give people? So many of us, most all of us, have examples of leaders who were not heroes, right? Of working for companies that were
not heroes. There's a lot of those. There's a lot of them out there.
You've got a lot of work to do. Let's put it that way. If you're gonna fix that.
But there are a lot of great leaders out there too. I mean, you know, and I put those in the book and I talk about them. I see them every day. And of course we see them. You know, you're there in Minneapolis. You know, I'm originally from Sioux Falls. And when I was in Sioux Falls growing up as a young man in business, and I started my businesses very young, and I can remember going to the Village Inn Pancake House and sitting there, and next to me was this table full of men and women who were the pillars of the community. And they were heroes. And what do I mean by that? These were the folks that took care of the symphony, took care of the bike-a-thon, made sure that the walk-a-thon had people, that funded the little leagues, you know. And they weren't looking for accolades. They were looking just to do the right thing. So we have those people all over the place, and that's what's made this country great, despite what Donald Trump says. You know, but right now we've got a, you know, the free enterprise system has really helped us a great deal in terms of, you know, laying out our, you know, the greatness of this country, and it's the strength of our country, and we need it more today than ever. And in fact, in the book, I talk about this. I want you to pick a side. I want you to decide what kind of business that you want to be, and then live it. Don't. What is it? Tip tap around it. I want you to dive in head first. And if you want to be an operating company, more power to you. It's not what I want to do. I'd rather live a company with values and do good and do this and do that. And that's not to say that those companies like Walmart or GE don't do good. I think they do good, but I don't think they have values like I see these other companies I mentioned have values. And then there are terrible, terrible examples. You know, I point out in the book, and I see them every day, but like, let's go back to Theranos. There's a great book that was written here recently called Bad Blood by a reporter out of the Wall Street Journal. If you haven't had a chance to read it, because here's an example of what I call an asshat company. A company that didn't live its values, who said that they were going to go out and change the world of blood testing, and then we're going to do this and this and this. But from the beginning, I think they started out that way, but then somewhere they lost their values, and they became a company that just stole money, as far as I'm concerned, stole money, cheated people, and caused people to die. I really, truly believe that. Because the way in which they did the blood testing, and of course they said they could do this, and of course it was all a sham. So you see those, or the Bernie Madoffs, or the how about the company, I can't even name the company that, you know, does the shortage on the EpiPens, or, you know, the diabetes testing, and they, you know, there's no reason for this. How much money do you need? You know, and this is what it's about living your values, deciding what kind of company you want to be. You know, in the book, I give you away, by the way, you don't even have to buy the book. Go to herofactorbook.com, and I actually give you a free assessment of where your company stands in the hero intensity chart, and then, you know, give a test to you, give a test to your employees. But I also give you some exercises that you can use to get your company on the right track. Cause I want people, I'm on a mission here. I'm on a mission to change the way that we, you know, transform organizations and create real winning cultures. As I just think it's about time for us to start living inside of values and doing things just a little bit different than we've been doing them in the past. And that's what the hero factor is all about. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry. I get so excited. You put the quarter in, you get to go for the full ride.
I love it. What advice? So you're talking a little bit about, you know, there's some transformation and some change here. I think, yeah. You know, not everybody is born wired in this way, but you can be this way. What advice would you give leaders who are, maybe haven't been at hero companies, haven't had great examples, that you can become this right? You can shift your mindset.
And you want to. I'm telling you, you want to. More revenue, more net value, happier customers, happier employees, right? Vendors who like you. You pay your bills on time. You're able to do more. People are going to, when you walk through the community, you're going to be like a dog soldier, which are the most revered, you know, Indians in the Cheyenne and Sioux, which these were the people that used to take care of the tribe members. You used to lead them out. What I mean by this, these are just unbelievable people who took care of people, you know, and did the right things and were the strongest warriors and the strongest members of the tribe. And what I mean by that is when you see a hero leader walk through a community or walk and sit down in a restaurant, you know, wow, that's somebody. Right. That to me, why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to be that kind of leader? And you can do it. You don't have to have any special powers. You don't need a cape. You just need to lead with integrity and stated values and live with diversity and inclusion and different things that we point out. You know, I take on the Me Too movement. I take on the sitting, you know, kneeling on the sideline for the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, because, you know, that test our values. They test our values. And I think, you know, when we can be tested, that's when it withstands itself in terms of being a great leader. And so, you know, like right now with Trump and all the stuff that we hear today, I think there's some good that comes out of it. You know, the reason we got into this mess with the way we are for the most part is because we didn't get active. We didn't stand for something. We didn't pick a side. And I'm a real believer in that. That's what leaders have to do, you know, especially in business. In business, we thought, well, that's not good. It's not good for business. The heck it's not. The heck it's not. I mean, there's business leaders who I don't care for their stand, say, on sexuality. Great example is the CEO and chairman of Chick-fil-A. You know, he's an anti, he's not a, not a supporter of gay marriage. Well, I don't believe in that, but I respect his right to do it. I respect his right to pick a side. I respect that he has one opinion and I have the other. And that's not going to stop me from eating his chicken sandwich, because I still like his chicken sandwich. Now, it might stop me from having a meaningful, you know, other kind of relationship with him. It's not, you know, but we differ on those things. But the cool thing is, you know what? God bless him. He picked a side.
And he's being true to his values. And totally. That's really what it is it's the people who lose sight, like you said, lose sight of their values are the ones that lose sight of a lot more than just their values.
Absolutely.
And so it's not that important. We all have to be the same, right? Or that we all have to believe the same thing. That's not what it is. It's the authentically who you are.
Oh, trust me. We have people in our Hero Club that believe opposite of the way I do in terms of my political views or my personal views. That's okay. You know, we're religious Bruce. That's okay. That's awesome. But we're steadfast in how we treat people, right? Mm-hmm. And Truett Cathy, who's the CEO or chairman of, he's the chairman of Chick-fil-A. I believe he treats people wonderful. In fact, he gives them Sunday off. He doesn't believe that you should be open on Sunday. Well, okay, cool. I kind of miss a Chick-fil-A sandwich on a Sunday, but I totally respect their right to do it. And it's not hurt their business. You know, and so that's why I tell people, pick a side. It's okay. Pick a side. At least we'll know where you stand. It doesn't mean that we're going to like it, okay, because I'd love to see them open on Sundays. But by gosh, he picked a side, and that's the way it is. And I like that. That says something. It says something about his values and says who he is as a person, and then the things that he tries to instill in the rest of the company. You know, so I'm okay with that kind of stuff. And that's why I said, you know, politically, had most of us pick sides, we'd be in a better position, I think, in terms of leadership of this country. And we didn't. So for a while, we got people that maybe we weren't so proud of all the time. Okay, well, let's don't do that again. So let's get going. And so the same thing has to hold true in business. You got to pick a side of right or wrong. You got to pick a side about we're going to be at this level of quality or this level of quality. We're going to have this on time shipment records. We're going to or not. And you have to live in those values. And if you do that, you're going to run your company better. And so we have a number of exercises that are in the Hero Factor book. A lot of exercises that you can get for free, but a lot of them are right there in the book. And so I show people how to just doing some simple things. Of getting to their values, getting to their own hero intensity, how to write out their values, to know what their values are, to be able to espouse them, and then drive them to the company, and then live them every single day. And if you can do that, you'll be a better business.
Do you, so for a newer leader, or maybe a smaller business, right, that maybe hasn't lost sight of their values and has some, what advice, is that where you would suggest they start, is really on the values track and getting clear on that?
I think day one. In fact, I think it's easier for a smaller business than a bigger business. Mm-hmm. Now, it is tougher for a smaller business sometimes to live in that value, right? And the reason I say that is like, I won't do business like this. And then all of a sudden someone brings you business that's on the edge. And you really need the cash. You really need to make the sale. But is it in your value or not? So you have to make those decisions. Those are tough decisions to make, but that's why they're there. And by the way, the tension causes you to be better. So there's nothing wrong with good, healthy tension. It causes you to think. And so that's why I like real healthy debate in my own company. And, you know, we had an exercise yesterday. We talked about promises, and we talked about how we treat promises in the company, who customers are, who performers are, what's the action cycle. And then, you know, my own son, who works in the business, called me out on one. You know, flat called me out in front of the whole company. And I said, I applaud your ability to speak up. But he asked me to not make a commitment unless the rest of the company was behind me. And I said, well, I won't do that. I said, I won't do that. I said, that's what CEOs do. You know, we push, we strive, we get out there ahead of you. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to then drive like crazy back to get you guys and drive you forward, you know, or to pull you forward. That's the job sometimes of a CEO, is to be an what I call an irrational or unrational leader. You know, it's like a coach who says, you know, at the end of practice, you got through running all your laps. You might remember this back in high school or college, you ran a lap and you were exhausted, right? You were dropped on the ground, and then the coach says, don't do another one. And you think you're going to die. You think you're going to die, you know, and then you run it and you didn't die. Well, that's what good leaders are supposed to do.
to push you to that point of kind of, you know, change, right? Where transformation happens. And that was another, part of the book that really stood out to me that hit me. And it's like, I know it, but you talk about that strong cultures aren't self-sustaining. And it was like, of course they're not, right? It's work every single day. It's work to stick to your values. It's work to maintain
your culture.
And I think that's why people, sometimes it's easier to just not stick to it. And what guidance do you give to people when it's hard to stick to it?
That's what you got to do. You know, I was recently on a board, publicly traded board that I was part of, and the company wasn't going well. So some of the board members, we said, nope, we're not taking salaries. We're not taking fees. We're not taking the things. The company's in trouble. And then we did some things, and then we fought with some of the leadership of the company until what we thought was right. And my wife kept saying, for over a year, why are you doing this? You're not getting paid. You're going to get sued, which is true. We did get sued in the end. And because that's what happens when you serve on publicly traded boards. And I just turned to her and I said, that's what good people do. And she got it. And the same thing holds true. It's hard work because it's hard. And that's what you have to understand. And it's not, if it were easy, everybody would do it. But see, that's what separates hero cultures from good companies or good cultures or wannabe cultures or do-gooders or bottom liners. So it's not supposed to be easy, and good things never are.
And you're never done.
And you're never done. Oh no, it's constant. It's just a constant involvement. The second you think you got it right, get ready. You need to break it again. And so you need to keep pushing it. So, and that's the job of a hero leader, a hero CEO. Is transforming the organizations and creating winning cultures. Cultures don't just set, they evolve. And as you add people, they change. Collectively, they're always changing. As you lose people, they change. Mm-hmm. And, it's like when I was at Kodak years ago, I used to say, I am Kodak, you're a Kodak, you're a Kodak, you are Kodak, and together we're really Kodak. And you can only move as fast as your slowest common denominators. So, that's the key. So if you want to change, you got to keep churning, you got to keep moving, you got to keep, raising the bar to get to the next level of intensity, the next level of profitability, the next level of productivity and inspiration, a whole bit, just whatever adjective you want to put in there. That's what you have to do.
But what I like about how you describe it in the book, and you actually described it a little earlier about, is that work can be fun and enjoyable along the way. It doesn't have to be draining and burnout if you're in the right space, right? If you're living your values and you're a hero leader, the work doesn't have to feel exhausting and draining all the time.
No, I love it. I would, sometimes I do what I do for free. Sometimes I do as an entrepreneur. you do it for free, so to speak. But you hope the investment pays off. But that's exactly right. I have my own personal conditions of satisfaction are to build wealth for me and my family, to live a life that's better than what I had when I was younger, and for my kids and future kids or grandkids to be able to have a better life. I really believe that. Then the next level is to be able to, have to learn new things. I like interesting things. And last but not least is to have fun. And those are my conditions of satisfaction.
And that's what it's all about. I love that. So I know our listeners are going to want to know more about how they can follow you, you're very active on social media, the podcast. Can you just give us more information about kind of everything you have going on and where they can find out more information? And we'll make sure and include that in our podcast notes as well.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Well, you can find me just by going to hazlett.com, HAYZLETT.com. But in addition to that, you can come find me at HeroCEOClub.com, C-Suite Network, C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite Book Club, all the things that are under C-Suite. You can come and find us. We're there. And of course, I mentioned earlier, HeroFactorBook.com. HeroFactorBook.com, and there's a little video on the book. There's a worksheets. There's assessments for you to be able to take, and they're all for free. And we'd love you to come there and find out more about the book.
Perfect. Well, thank you again. So grateful that you took the time to be on here. I know it helped our listeners think differently and kind of, shake up their leadership a little bit and test themselves to make sure they are working towards being a hero leader. And as all of you listening, make sure you subscribe so that you get the latest podcast. updates. And, you know, make sure that every day, every week, that we're working to use our strengths, our authentic strengths, to be better hero leaders, right? To achieve that next level of success, because that's what's going to make that next level fulfilling, is when we're in the zone of our values and in that hero leadership space. So thanks everyone for being and listening in today.